Previously on the Slug is Doug podcast.
You know, there's sort of that certain area of your life when people seem to be, struggling with the fact that they are aging. Kind of seems to be somewhere around your 30th birthday, maybe your 35th birthday, on until, I'm imagining, your 50s or something like that. Where you don't ever hear anybody saying very proudly, "I'm 45! But you do hear a child saying, "I'm 3! Or, "I'm 14! And you look forward to aging at those times, right? You know, you look forward to becoming 16 so you can get your driver's license. You look forward to all sorts of, I look forward to being 18 to vote. I know, I was a little weird. I look forward to being 19, of course, to be able to legally drink in Ontario. I look forward to being 25, I guess, because then that way I could rent a vehicle if I needed to and get a credit card at the age of 21 or whatever. You know, there's sort of a certain time there where you're looking forward to an age, but you're also, I think previous to that, especially as a kid, you're proud of your age. And then when you get into your senior years, people do get very proud about, "I'm 84! And it's like, you're saying to somebody, "Yes, I have made it this far, and I'm good. You know, like, look at me. I've made it this far, and I'm very proud of myself for doing that." And I'm just kind of wondering, is it after retirement? Is it after one reaches that part of their life where they decide, "Okay, that's it. I'm done with work. I do not need to work anymore. I'm going to collect my pension, or I'm going to focus on complaining about the weather and wearing pants, you know, whatever, or doing my hobbies and these things." And is that the point when somebody has just sort of finally gotten through all the bullshit of life, all these hard things that we have to overcome in terms of family and work, and finally become, I guess, kid-like again and say, "I'm going to be selfish and focus on me"? And is that when we become proud of our age again? I don't know. Did I just answer my own question? Maybe I did. So I'd like to hear from you. I want to know. I know that some of my listeners out there may be of an advanced age. And I want to know, though, from each and every one of you, are you proud of your age? Are you proud that you have made it as far as you have? I don't care if you're 18. I don't care if you're 70. I want to know, are you proud that you've made it to your age?
Well, Doug, I'm going to jump right in now and try and answer your question. You know I'm long-winded, so stay tuned. Be prepared. I am 63. Yeah, to me, it's kind of a nothing age. It's neither here nor there. You know, 64 counts. Oh, okay. Wow, that's neat. There's a song about that. 60 seemed a landmark. Any of the zeros seemed like a big landmark, ages. 65 is coming up. But unfortunately, in my case, and I think a lot of other people, it doesn't mean retirement anymore. It doesn't mean, "Oh, great, this pension. Yes, I'll get some old age pension," but I didn't feather my nest. So it means nothing in terms of, wow, now I can just sit back and enjoy life. I'm going to be working until I can't work anymore or nobody will have me. That's just the way it is. So there's nothing special about that. It's just 63 is just a kind of a, it's okay, it's cool. I'm happy, I'm healthy. I mean, I think you do start thinking about your health. And as, you hear stories about friends dying even younger than you, you start thinking, holy shit, man, I'm lucky I've got it this far. So as far as the question, are you proud of your age? Are you glad to have made it this long or proud? I really am. I've led a rugged enough life. I've put myself through a lot intentionally and have sort of come out intact. And later in life, you know, ended up with house, family, wife, kids, you know, the whole works, the kind of thing that a lot of people set out to do right from the start. I never did. So the fact that at this stage of my life I have that, I feel very good about it. I feel very proud. Wow, somehow it all worked out. You know, there wasn't any plan, there wasn't any map. But it all somehow tumbled into place. But the age thing is more like, I think the problem comes when you start comparing to other people of your age. And I look at the people now who are retiring actually next week from where I work. And I'm thinking, holy shit, they've got nice pensions from the college. They're settled, you know, they married somebody reasonable who also had a career and pension. And they're going to be off traveling to Vietnam and, you know, Europe and all over, and living a very nice life and not having to worry at all. And I dread the thought of going into old age with, I haven't faced poverty yet, other than by choice, but certainly without that cushion that a lot of people have. So I think in that sense, it really eats at you, it haunts you. And then you start thinking about the sicknesses that you could get so easily. And in fact, there's almost this sort of what I used to call Christian guilt of, God damn it, all those other people got sick and fucked up. Why hasn't that happened to me? When's my turn? And I'm not looking forward to that. So I think the question is, whatever age you're at, get out there, live it, enjoy it. If you can still walk and mumble, get out there and do it. Have as much fun as you can at any damn age you're at, because the clock doesn't stop ticking and you just don't know what lies ahead. So if you can get out there and still yahoo and party once in a while, do it. Do not sit and brood and think about what's coming up, and do not worry. Do not live regrets. Just, you know, honestly, celebrate the fact of living. I know that's starting to sound like a cliche, but I don't think it registers with enough people. Celebrate being alive, period. Whatever age you're at, whether it's 5 or 50 or 15, just anywhere in between, just enjoy where you're at as much as you can. Breathe in the air, look at the sunshine, and celebrate. That's it. Thanks, Doug, for posing the question. It was a good one. Take care. Carry on.
And I will. Thanks, dude, for your reply. For those of you who did not recognize that voice, that was the Scarborough Dude from the Dicks and Janes podcast. And you're listening to Slug is Doug, episode 35.
I don't wanna grow up.
perhaps it's too late for me to never grow up. But nevertheless, a fun song. That's the Ramones with I Don't Want to Grow Up. I thought about putting the Tom Waits version in there, but I think I actually just sort of like the funness of the Ramones version. Just to kind of wrap up this idea and this thought, of course, you're also still welcome to send in a comment if you want on the blog, or if you want, you can do as the dude did and record something and email it to me at doug@sluggishdoug.com. I just wanted to kind of touch on one thing that the dude had said, and it was just sort of celebrating life for now as you have it, and be glad that you are where you are, and be glad that you're living. And I think that, I mean, that's even sort of reflected in the I Don't Want to Grow Up song. There's a line in there where he says, all I have to live for is today. And I mean, of course, we've always heard this everywhere. You know, there's so many philosophies and people and people that you spend lots of money to go listen to speaking, life coaches and whatnot, that tell you that you should just live for today. Live your day as if each day was the last day. And I think that there is a valid point to that, or at least being grateful to the fact that you are alive every day. But since we are coming up to the holiday season, whether you are Christian and you celebrate Christmas, or whether you are just sort of a North American who likes to follow the commercial side of Christmas and just celebrate the giving of presents, or whether you are of the Jewish faith or whatever faith you are, I think this holiday season that we now call it is a good time for us to actually focus on not ourselves, but on others. And I just want to take a moment here to make a plea. There's a cause that has become pretty important in my life as well as my wife's life. And I know that you hear all sorts of other causes and pleas during the holiday season and all year round, but I think that it's important that perhaps I talk about this one, because I don't know if enough people are talking about it. And that's the use of some countries, some armies, using children as soldiers. And I'm not going to talk about it for too long, but I just want you to realize that this is something that is going on in this world. My wife actually went and saw a talk by Romeo Dallaire last Friday down at the exhibition here in Toronto. And he was talking about this. And she and I both knew that this was something that happened in the world. But I think that now that we have our own child, our own little girl, it really made an impact on our lives, and it really came to the forefront of our mind and deep in our heart. And I don't know if it's just that I have a daughter now, but when I think about children in a war-torn country being basically given a gun and being told that they are now a soldier, and their childhood being stolen from them. When I think about a young girl being given a gun, being brought into an army, being told she's a soldier, being abused, then after she's done, if she survives, having the horrible, horrible memories and trauma that she has to try to live through, and then also be ignored by the rest of her society. It breaks my heart. So, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. It's something that really bothers me, and I just wanted to mention it. And I hope it bothers you, and I hope it inspires you to do something, either about that or about something that really bothers you in your life. And my wife and I are in the process of trying to figure out what it is that we can do to help out in this effort. Now, there is an organization called Child Soldiers International, and they're working to stop the use of child soldiers worldwide. And it's at childsoldiers.org. Go there. Do what you need to do. All right, enough of that. Let's get back to the podcast.
So, I'm just down in Guildwood Park. Actually, the Guild, I guess it's called. Taking a walk with my daughter on Friday morning. And it's snowing. Unfortunately, it's her real big first snowfall. And she's asleep. Yeah. Sleeping away in the stroller. She doesn't usually sleep in the morning. But I think she's all nice and cozy. And decided that it was time to have a sleep. So she did. So I'm just overlooking the... I'm at the top of the bluffs. I would sit on this park bench, which is in memory of Sean Riches, February 5, 1974 to February 14, 1999. That's sad. That's a short life. It says, love all your family and friends. And I'd sit on it, but it's soaking wet. I didn't really plan to podcast, I just happened to have my recorder in my pocket. But the snow's falling, I'm looking over top of the lake from atop the bluffs. And you really can't see the horizon at all, it's just kind of white. And then somewhere in there you can see the waves of the water. And if you listen really closely, you can almost hear them crashing. Although I can't imagine they'd be crashing very loudly today because I don't really see much action on the waves. Oh yeah, they're going. They're small. But it's just kind of a snowy day. There's that strange light about the air where it's kind of, I can see the sun in the sky. I can see it through all the snow. There's just this glowing orb in the sky over the south. Over top of the water. Probably up a good 30 degrees or so. Maybe 45. I'd say it's probably closer to 30. And I see clouds basically passing in front of it. It's kind of neat. It's been a good week. I've been cleaning out the basement, preparing to have my wife's family come into town and stay with us. And since we're having the whole family over for Christmas at our place this year, I decided it would be a good idea, like I said on the last episode, I think, to clean out the basement and make it another place that people can go, which was something we had always planned anyway. So, I had somebody come by. I put, we had like a ton of boxes from when we moved. And they had just been sitting in the basement for the longest time. And I decided that, well, even when we originally moved in, I figured we'd put them up on Craigslist and maybe sell them, maybe get some money back for them. But then it came time to put the listing up on Craigslist, and I looked at moving boxes on Craigslist, and a lot of them were for free. I didn't see very many that had a lot of for money attached to them. And so I decided that I better put them up for free. I didn't think anybody would really want to pay for them, especially since I needed to get rid of them quick. And boy, the response was quick. I put them up, I put the listing up, detailed as to how many of each types of box. Put it up, I think, at 9 o'clock at night on Wednesday. And I'd had two responses by 9:30. And 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, somebody had come by and picked them up. And they did that while I was out. I was downtown meeting a young guy by the name of Steven, who he had a listing on Craigslist, and he was selling a Nikon 50mm 1.8 lens. Now, I'd been looking for a 1.4, and for any of you that know anything about cameras, or even if you don't, I suppose, more importantly, a 1.4 lens means the largest size of the aperture that the iris can make. Now, 1.4 is quite big, so that means it lets in a lot of light when you take a picture. So that allows you to take a lot of low light pictures, which is what I've wanted to do a lot lately, especially since Clara's been born. And you know, I hate flash photography. It's always so bad, and these flashes you get on the SLRs these days, it's crappy. It's a terrible flash. So this 1.8 was really good. It allows in quite a bit of light. It's not nearly as expensive as a 1.4 lens, because a 1.4 has incredible glass on it. They run like $300, so there was no way I was going to get one of those. Not for what I need. But I had done some reading online, and KenRockwell.com, I think, is what the website was. He's basically a Nikon nut. He had recommended that if you can find a 1.8 50mm lens, even I got the AF, which was the type that he was reviewing. He said, snap it up if you can find it for about $75, because it is a very, very good lens. And you know what? I found one for $75, and I talked to the guy, and boom, that was mine. Went down and got it, and it's fantastic. So I've got it with me, and I've taken some photos. Maybe I'll put a couple up on the blog post. But I just wanted to check in and say hello. Felt like the right thing to do with my daughter having to sleep in her stroller. And now I should probably head back. I hope she's not too cold. She shouldn't be. She's in her snowsuit and a sweater and a blanket and in her stroller with the plastic cover on her now, keeping the snow from falling on her and melting. I didn't have it up earlier. It was kind of landing on her blanket and getting her all wet. But when she fell asleep, I decided probably a good idea. She can't really complain very well while she's asleep. Plus, I didn't want her little face getting all cold. It might be windy. Anyway, I don't know if this is a beginning, a middle, or an end. Certainly not an end. I know that. And probably a beginning. So I'm going to say, welcome to episode 35 of the Slug is Doug podcast. It's kind of snowy out, but it's a good day. All right. How about some music? We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, a good day. sunny day at shoreline. Past me. Dreams, you tell me. Tell them all that you were tired. Sing along, oh my life, a good day. Any day that you're alive, yeah, good day. Any day that you're alive. A bad day comes every once in a while. Your body says 1400, shoot a star in any time. A bad day comes every once in your body life.
Paul Westerberg and Good Day. It's from an album called Open Season. He gets a little reachy at one point there. And by reachy, I mean he seems to be struggling to reach the notes. But I think it's a pretty fitting song. A good day is any day that you're alive. This all has me thinking. I've been lately keeping a list of topics that I thought would be good for Slug as Doug, you know, for the podcast. Because, you know, as I'm doing things during the day, I tend to think of things and say, oh, yeah, that would be a great thing for me to talk about. I really need to talk about that on the podcast. And one of the things that I guess came to mind or that I realized in the last little while is, I just simply wrote down on a 3x5 card this one phrase: more Doug than Slug. And I thought that was actually kind of fitting, because I think that's really coming across already in this episode in terms of the things that I'm talking about. And when I originally started this whole website, I mean, let's be honest, the only reason why I chose the name Slug as Doug com for the website was that I had no other idea what to use, what it should be. And it just kind of came to me one day. I thought, oh, well, that sounds pretty good, and let's register slugasdoug.com. And I never really knew exactly what it was. I just knew that there were people in my life that knew me as Slug, people that knew me as Doug. And I was at a time there when I registered it. It was just after I got married, I guess, or just before. Jeez, I can't even remember now how long I've had the website. But it was at a time where I think I was certainly transitioning from who I was to who I am now. And I really feel like I should almost rename this podcast or rename the whole website to More Doug Than Slug. And I think maybe that's going to be the name of this episode. For those of you who don't really know me, at least my past self, I think that, I'll put it this way. I think being More Doug Than Slug is a good thing. I'm not denying what I was or who I was to become who I am, the persona of Slug or it's not really a persona, but the sort of personality or the view of life or the approach to behaving when I was known as Slug. Really, or Slugger, really, is really what it was, what I was known as. But I think it's a good thing now to be More Doug Than Slug, and I just can't help it. I'm no longer that guy, and you know, I've grown up, and I've become responsible. Now, for example, why don't I just give you at least an interesting story or an anecdote, I guess, about what it was like in the life of Slug. And I'll give you sort of I'll start you off with a softer one, with an easy one, I guess. And I think perhaps I was sort of in the middle of my heyday of earning my nickname of Slugger, or the lifestyle of Sluggo, or whatever it is you want to call it, when I was in my third year of university. And at architecture school, we worked in what we called the studio, and it was basically a big concrete building, and on the third floor of the architecture building at Carleton University, there's large rooms that are dedicated specifically for the architecture students. We each have a desk, we each have a wooden locker on a metal frame, and we kind of have an area that we have staked out for ourselves where we can draft, we can model, we can build things, it's our classroom, it's our studio, it is our place to create and to discuss, to learn from each other, and to explore what architecture is to each and every one of us. And this place is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to the students. And we were there all the time. I was with the 74 other students in my class every day. And things would get a bit goofy, but you know, I was also a 22-year-old kid in university at that point. And I didn't just want to be in my classroom. I didn't just want to be in the studio. I didn't just want to be learning. I wanted to actually be living and being free. So we did go out. We did have some fun. And even with sort of the weight of deadlines and reviews and critiques on our shoulders, we would spend probably the most inappropriate times going down to the bar across the way at the University Center, or upstairs actually to the graduate pub called Mike's Place. Great place. If you're ever there, actually, at Carleton University at the Uni Center, I think it's still there. Go up to Mike's Place. Have a bowl of biryani. I think that's how you pronounce it. Biryani chicken and some rice and a pint of... what was I drinking then? 50, I think. I think they had that on tap. I was probably drinking Guinness too, but that was more expensive. So I think it was probably 50 that I was drinking. Have that and enjoy it. It was, you know, a more adult place to be. It was a good place for us to go and actually continue discussing what it was that we were working on. But what would eventually end up happening is we would go and do something like that. Maybe go, let's say, I would go have that bowl of food and that... Oh, that, you know, that beer or two, and maybe smoke a couple cigarettes, because I think during that time we were allowed to actually smoke indoors, so I would smoke, you know, half a pack of cigarettes, and next thing I know, I'd be feeling a little tipsy, and somebody would say, hey, let's go smoke a joint, or let's go smoke some hash or something like that, and yes, it was university. I did it. I admit it. I freely admit it. I smoked pot, and, I got high. So, what would end up happening is we would end up coming back to the studio and we'd start working. And of course, we'd still be thinking about how much fun we were having and be all kind of amped up a bit. And I eventually would end up being, you know, goofing around. And I had... a pair of, this is Ottawa, by the way, usually in the wintertime, I had a pair of red long underwear, those, you know, those one piece long underwear that you see in all of the old movies of lumberjacks or, you know, Mounties or whatever, that's what we Canadians wear in the North when we're sitting in our log cabin by the fire and we're warming ourselves. Well, that's what I was wearing underneath because I had to take a bus and walk to school and it was damn cold in Ottawa in winter. And so I'd get a little bit goofy and I'd strip down and into basically just being in my red long underwear. And at this time, my head was always shaved, usually down to what I would call the wood, which means I never had any hair. I was completely bald, and invariably, I probably hadn't shaved for a very long time. So I would look rather, as my mother would say, dirty, which I probably was, because I probably hadn't shaved in a while or showered even. And so there I would be in the middle of the studio while everybody else was trying to work. And there'd be like eight of us or nine of us that had just come back from Mike's Place and probably from sharing a joint out in the courtyard or something like that. Feeling happy. And we'd be goofing around. The next thing you know, Doug's got his shirt and his pants off and he's standing there in his red underwear. And I would start wandering around the studio in my long underwear, wearing my safety boots. Because back then, all I ever wore was steel toe boots. I still do in the winter. And whenever I'm at work, you can never be too safe. But back then, that was de rigueur. It was either that or I was wearing my Doc Martin, you know, black boots with, I don't know, they had like 12 holes or something like that. And I would wander around the studio. And I would go up to various people and I would put on my best Randy Macho Man Savage voice. And I would start to challenge people to a fight. To a wrestling match. I don't even know if I can still do the voice. Let's see.
Oh yeah! Me and the lovely Miss Elizabeth here to rock your world! Oh yeah! I want to challenge you to a wrestling match.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore. But that's the kind of thing I would do. You know, that was the kind of thing that was, you know, if you were to ask anybody around there that, you know,
well, who's this? Who's that guy? And they would just say, oh, that slugger, he does that. Now, I don't regret any of these actions. I don't regret any of these things that I do. Maybe the one thing that I do kind of regret about it is that was the particular year, that example. That was the particular year that I ended up failing that studio session, which if you fail studio, you basically end up failing the year, unfortunately. But my head wasn't into it. I wasn't, I was really questioning where I was, who I was, and why I was doing what I was doing. And I kind of avoided doing the work because I wasn't sure that I was actually good enough to do it. And I was struggling with my identity at that time. And the only identity that I understood at that time was Slug, was the Slugger, was the Slug-O. And that was the only thing I could grasp and hold on to. Everybody else had something that they were good at there. They were musicians, they were artists, they were poets, they were writers, they were all sorts of great people that were very memorable for some of the things that they could do. And I was starting to feel like I didn't have anything about me that was very particularly memorable. And so I think that I just kind of gravitated towards being the weirdo, the funny guy, the guy who would do things like get high and run around in his underwear and just be the general jerk or class clown, I guess. And it took that failure, I think, that year for me to realize that perhaps that wasn't such a good idea. You know, when I failed, I still didn't exactly know who I was. I didn't know exactly how to react or how to act. And I think even up until I graduated, or even until I went to Europe for a year, I still didn't quite realize exactly who I was, what I wanted to be, or who I was going to be, or how I was going to do any of that. But it came down to the fact that when I failed that year, I not only failed myself, I failed my family, I failed my parents, I failed the school, I failed my teachers, my professors, who were working very hard to get me to understand that I actually knew what I was doing and that I could do it if I just did the work. And I think that was just kind of, you know, immaturity that was present. And I think since then, he, and by that I mean Slug-O, has been kind of on a quiet exit, slowly receding, slowly walking off backstage left. There was a theater producer by the name of Robert Wilson, who I studied while I was actually in architecture school, and I came to really enjoy his work. And he had a theater production style where what he would do, you might know some of his works. One of them was called Einstein on the Beach, and there was a recording that was done by Philip Glass. He did the soundtrack for the whole play, is I guess what they want to call it. It's about, I think that particular, I'll have to check, I don't have Wikipedia open in front of me, but I think Einstein on the Beach, when it was actually put on in a quote-unquote theater, was somewhere in the area of, I believe, 18 to 24
hours. No, that's a complete lie.
Something like that. Something complete really
liar,
crazy.
Liar, it only the took whole 5 idea hours. Of, just 5 hours.
Robert Wilson's work was that everything happened in slow motion. So for an actor, or as actually he, I think, believed, even called them dancers. For a dancer to cross the stage, it could take hours. And as I sit here and I think about the slow disappearance of Slug-O backstage left, I think about those productions. And how that is, he was a character, he was a person. I think Doug was always in there, he was always watching, he was always standing perhaps backstage right or upstage right, looking over and watching this fool. Never really with disgust, but just saying, really, do you have to take it that far? Do you have to do that? And so now that I've grown up, I guess I've reached an age, and I guess this is part of being proud of who you are and where you come to grips with where you have come from and where you've made it to. Answering my previous question and the whole point of, I guess, the opening and maybe even some of what Scarborough Dude was saying, or maybe where it is that I'm searching is. I guess now I'm proud to actually call myself Doug. I no longer introduce myself to others as Slugger. I never really tell anybody that is my nickname anymore, and I'm actually surprised when I still hear people using it. Even people that I have just recently met. People who never really actually knew who that guy was. And I'm proud to say that I've reached the point where I am now Doug. And I am made up of Slug, Sluggo, Slugger. I'm made up of Young Doug, Young Dougie, Whitey, who was, that was my nickname from Greg, my best friend, his brother. Wow, that's weird. I just remembered that. But, you know, I was one of these kids with white hair, and that's what he called me. And, I mean, we are always the sum of what, of all of our experiences, I suppose, in our whole life. And, here I am. And I guess that perhaps every single experience that I've had has led me to this point and led me to the realization of who I am and what it is. And as far as I can tell right now, I am a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a citizen of this world. And it's now my duty to try to be the best Doug that I can be in this world to help my daughter become the best Clara that she can be. And I think it's also going to be important that I realize that maybe she might go through a stage that is her own stage of being a slug or a slugger, whatever that is for her. You know, currently we call her Bubba Lou. That's because she's just such a tiny little girl and she's just a little Bubba baby, right? You know, she will have her own personalities as she goes through her life, and she will have ways of learning about who she is and what she will be. And that's my job as Doug, as Daddy. I guess that's the other personal persona that I am. I am Daddy now too. So maybe I really need to name this Slug is Doug is Daddy. I don't know. Anyway, I does this make sense? I hope it does. And I hope it doesn't really shock anybody. You know, I'm assuming that, you know, especially, you know, my mom and dad listen to this. And I'm assuming you guys knew that was part of who I was. And that was the kind of thing that I did. I mean, you witnessed some of the weird behavior. I hope it's not too shocking to find out that I would smoke a joint back when I was in my 20s in university. Anyway, that's all behind me now. Christ, I even have trouble drinking alcohol now, so... Oh, those days are gone. Anyway, geez, whoa, we're at like 50 minutes here. I think I'm gonna just call this call it a segment. Bring an end to this and let you move on. All right. I don't got anything else to say, so let's listen to some music. And you know what? I think I'm just going to... That's it for the show. That's it for episode 50... No, what? Not 53. Wow, apparently I've also developed dyslexia, too. that's it for episode 35 of the Slug is Doug podcast. I don't know if I'm going to get another one out before Christmas or even the new year. Things are going to be very busy around here. So I want to wish each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. I also want to, I want to wish you a very safe holiday. And we'll catch you in 2012. Or is it 2012? I'm still not even used to saying 2011. I think it'll be easier in 2012. Comes easier off the tongue. So, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Holidays. Happy whatever you want to call it. This is Doug. Signing off. Take care. Didn't I just answer that?